So this is where they keep the illegal aliens, huh? Oh, welcome, officers.
Welcome to the guys who stood around while people threw hockey pucks at us.
You're going to come up here talking all that Make America Great crap. You're bound to catch a face full of Canadian tomato.
You are listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
So what are you going to do here? Go for the hat trick?
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
Well, now, some people run, some people walk, some get high just to get by. I like to ride.
Welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have everybody along with us tonight. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing well, actually. Enjoying my setup, and looks like a good weekend coming up for us.
It's so crazy hot.
Hey, first time in forever that we've had that, considering it was crazy cold all year. So
yeah, and it's been raining the last 3-4 weeks.
The last 6 months, the last 4 months, whatever. Happy to have everybody along here. We got lots to go over, lots to talk about today here on The Hockey Show. Lots to go over in terms of international hockey, in terms of NHL hockey, in terms of all sorts of stuff. We have an exit interview to do as well. Brian will be on shortly in terms of joining us for the Rangers exit, in terms of them leaving as well. Let's start with the under-18 Women's World Championship, though. That wrapped up earlier this week on Monday, and hey, Canada ends up winning another gold medal. It didn't look good to start with after the loss to Finland and then the blowout by the Americans in terms of the round robin. But got to hand it to the one man who legitimately seems to have that happen to his team every year. Alberta Panda's head coach, Howie Draper, got this team set and ready and raring to go for the medal round. And sure enough, the Panda's head coach is a two-time gold medalist now.
How painful is it for you to have to say that?
You know what? The more I think about it, though, the more I look at it, and I'm going to say this, again, this is going to sound blasphemous to anybody here in Manitoba, but the more I look at it, the more I think about it, the more it just speaks volumes as to how good a coach Howie is. And that's not taking it away from anybody else. Vicky Sunohara, who was on the bench there, Tara Watchhorn on the bench there as well, Gord Woodhull, who's from Winnipeg, works with the Avros as the goaltending coach. It really speaks to his preparation, his meticulous preparation, his attention to detail, and his overall handling of the situation. Mm-hmm. And I can't say enough good things about the way how he handled this, despite it looking like it may go off the rails a little
bit. Yeah, I mean, even when his teams struggle, they always find a way to pull it back together. And when we're expecting them, oh, yeah, this is the one time that they're not looking like world beaters, he just gets them to a spot where they need to be. And I think it speaks more to the Canadian program that they came back from those early upsets to battle back and win a gold medal,
right,
versus just walking to a gold. Like it just says more about how good this team is that they can weather that storm and keep going versus just like having an easy road all the way through.
Well, and I mean, you know, as the old adage is, you know, nothing worth having doesn't come without a fight sort of thing, right? And I mean, I'm not saying that Canada has been doing this repeatedly over the last few years, but I mean, we saw at the World Championship how they started a couple of years ago 0-3 or 0-4 in terms of 0-3 in that tournament and battled back to win the gold medal. In the last World Championship, the men struggled as well in terms of getting off to a bad start. They battled back, ended up as being the finalists and losing in the gold medal game. But I mean, legitimately, it seems to be that, you know, if Canada doesn't come up with a little bit of drama, a little bit of pushback, it's not worth that fight in terms of winning the gold medal. So
got to make it interesting somehow,
I guess. Yeah. I'm impressed. Howie, I mean, to be honest, and this goes maybe a little bit away from Howie, but certainly collectively, I don't know if U Sports coaching has ever been better. When you consider that Vicky and Howie were basically leading that team,
yeah.
U of T, U and U of A have been at multiple nationals, and legitimately talking about maybe two of the best. I mean, you could probably throw the Concordia coaches, Julie Chu and Carol Ann Lett in there. You could probably throw Steve Cook, maybe John Rempel in there as well in terms of how they coach as well. But legitimately, I mean, we're talking about two of the best coaches that have ever stood behind a bench in U Sports Hockey at that point.
Yeah, and it also speaks to where U Sports Hockey is going to go in the future. If those coaches that you mentioned, if they're sticking around, then they're going to keep building better and better programs and bringing in better and better players.
Alexia Aubin had a goal in that gold medal final. We saw her at the Female World Sports Gold Challenge, mm-hmm. and she was dynamite there, her and Carol Prefontaine. Jada Ginla also making a big impact, and she looks like she is going to be on the Canadian radar for a long time based on how she plays this
game. That shot, my goodness. Shades of her father, really.
Well, I mean, she's also, I mean, you know, learning from the best in terms of having, but just at that age, when you think that, you know, she's basically 17 going into 18, going to be at Brown University next year to play hockey.
High quality program.
Right. She's going from basically learning from one of the best, a Hall of Famer, NHL Hall of Famer, to going to one of the best in terms of one of the better programs in the NCAA as well. So,
yeah, it's going to be amazing to see where she goes from here.
I'm just getting a message here. Looks like Brian's just about ready to go. We're going to get him on the phone here in a second in terms of having that go. Let's bring up, congratulations to Canada, obviously. Congratulations to the Americans. Obviously, they had a good tournament as well in their home country in Madison, Wisconsin there. Congratulations to Finland, who were the bronze medalists. Sweden, who ended up in fourth, looked fairly good in terms of rebuilding that program. We know they were down, not in the dumps, but at least down in terms of the quality of women that were coming out of there, just because they had no funding for a number of years. But looks like they're starting to build up and get things going again, which is really nice. So to all the teams that were out in Madison, incredible tournament. I want to say TSN's work, Kenzie Lalonde and Cheryl Pounder were fantastic on the calls all week. Laura Dykin, Sammy Jo Small, and then Renata Fast on the weekend in terms of semifinal final games. They exceptional coverage top to bottom by TSN. Mm-hmm. And really, I'm not saying that this has to happen each and every time for a tournament, but for women's tournaments, let's keep that crew together for as long as possible, because they are delivering exceptional coverage. Mm-hmm.
And they're only going to get better. Like, if you put that team together and they can continue gain the experience, not just gain experience, but like work together, build that chemistry moving forward, you're building a product that I think, you know, you have to put quality in front of people for them to respond to it. And we've already got great quality with that group there. So just keep rolling that out there, and they're only going to get better.
I'm hoping that they'll be around in from August, the last week of August, beginning of September, because that's when the 2022 IIHF Women's World Hockey Championship takes place in Denmark. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for the next under 18, that will happen next year. That, unfortunately, it'll go back to January. But 2023, it'll happen in Sweden, as they will host the event from January 8th to January 15th. So if you're looking for more good women's hockey that contains national teams anyway, that's where you'll see the next couple of opportunities there for sure, which is good. So, Jake, let's move on to the game one of the Stanley Cup final yesterday. You want to wax a little poetic about that, because that was a heck of a game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was incredible. Like, it's just to see, after watching that game, or while it was going on, I was thinking, like, when was the last time we've seen a Stanley Cup final with teams of this caliber going at it? And I go all the way back to probably, I mean, there have been great teams that got to the Stanley Cup Finals. Like the Bruins Blues series from a couple of years ago was absolutely phenomenal. And then you go back to Chicago and Tampa last time, you know, back in 2015 when Tampa was there. You've got incredible, incredible teams with Colorado and Tampa. They're healthier now, they've got big name guys coming back, and just this series has to go to seven games.
Like, there's want it to, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Vegas odds makers already have it. Like, it's favored to go to seven games just because of how good these two teams are. And game one showed exactly why. It's like, it doesn't matter how big the deficit, they're gonna keep going.
We're gonna bring in our resident Tampa Bay Lightning expert, Brian Svensson. How are you, Brian? Are you there, Brian? Brian, are you there? Brian? Did we lose him? Brian? Hello? Uh-oh. Let's just see what's going on here with the phone. Hold on a second here. I was going to say, Brian is going to be one of our guys that would give us a fair and honest assessment there, but...
I think he was thinking about how Colorado wound up winning that game. I'm hoping I didn't hang up on him.
Hold on. Let's just redo the phone here. I don't think he's gone. I don't know where he went.
I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to try calling him again, and we'll see if we can get that going. So, but I would say, regarding your Bruins Blues setup, I mean, again, I was way young for this, but legitimately, this is 1980s hockey, 1980 Oilers playoff hockey.
Oh yeah, like it's just incredibly talented teams, incredibly talented players. Like we're seeing, hate it all you want with how the salary cap has worked for the Tampa Bay Lightning and the teams that they've been able to put together. With going over the salary cap the way that they have, you can't argue that it hasn't produced incredible hockey with a modern dynasty going up against a team that's trying to build their legacy. Like, it's just, the quality is just off the charts.
Let's see if he's there now. Brian, are you there, though? Can we get you? I don't know what's going on with this. Brian's not, it's not transferring through, so something weird is going on with the phone line here. Is everything set right? There's maybe the better question, right?
Yeah.
Am I not being an idiot? Am I being an idiot? Probably not. Maybe. Kind of. Sort of. Brian? I don't know. We'll figure it out in a second.
Yeah.
I got no way of fixing that. I got no way of getting it rolling. I know we had some problems. We had some internet problems earlier, so maybe that was the issue. But Brian's calling in now. Let's see, put him right on, see if that works. Brian, are you there? No? No, it's definitely something going on, something weird going on then. So we're gonna go back to Brian in a second here. But keep going then, Jason. Sorry, yeah. Keep going.
I think the one thing, that the Kucherov goal was just absolutely unbelievable to get Tampa Bay on the board. But, like, game one was exactly the kind of hockey that makes people fall in love with the sport. Talented hockey, you've got great players on both sides, you've got an electric building. Like, it can't be understated how much the people of Denver and the people of Colorado love hockey and love the Avalanche. You know, they haven't been there for, there was a lull of a few years where they weren't doing so well, but you know, they're finally back there. They finally reached the Stanley Cup final where they deserve to be. And I think that, you know, this could be like back in the day when we had the Red Wings Avs rivalry. This could be a renewal of like a major rivalry of great teams going at it.
That's what you like about Brian. He's easy to work with. I mean, if you're not listening to the Bench Warmer, the Bench Warmer's Bench, whatever it is on Friday, the baseball show. I'm going to look it up right now. Brian's one of the hosts there, and Brian's a fantastic guy. He's like, yeah, next week's good. Don't worry, we're good.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think the funny part for Brian, and we talked about a little bit about this last week as well, because Brian, I mean, he had the Rangers, but he's a huge Lightning fan, right? I have a feeling that his exit interview would have been skewed heavily towards Tampa Bay.
Oh, it will be.
And I'm not saying that to be mean to Brian. That's the truth. He's a huge Lightning fan. He's been that way for a while, so... It's always nice to see Brian's team, you know, get in there and win. But I mean, at the same time, though, he bench jockeys. That's what it is. Bench jockeys. But they Tampa Bay just. I mean, again, you were saying, you know, just in terms of how intense the sort of the series was there. I mean, those two goals yesterday in 48 seconds. I mean, like two gorgeous goals, and you just go, you can't even give them an inch on the ice, and then you see the goals. You know, some of the goals that Colorado scores, and you just kind of go, like, that's all talent too. Like, it's ridiculous in terms of how good they are, and they're scoring on Vasilevskiy, who legitimately is maybe if not the best goalie in the NHL over the last 5 years.
Yeah, like the thing that comes down to, and Vasilevskiy is a goalie that performs in clutch moments. Like I think the stat now is in elimination games, he's got like a 0.25 goals against average and a 9.91 save
it's
percentage.
It's ridiculous.
The guy knows how to play it. Like, the guy knows how to win, but you've got these two teams. Like, you've got a Tampa Bay team that's been there before, they've won before, they know exactly what to do, and you can never count them out. And then you've got the supremely talented Avs team that, like, if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. And it's just like, you go down the list of like where on these two teams, like their line, their forward lineups, their defensive lineups, like goaltending maybe is the one place if Kemper's not, you know, there and playing, like that's the one spot where you can unequivocally give it to Tampa Bay. But like,
but I was at work the other day and like guys were saying, oh, you know, Tampa Bay's got, you know, gonna be in tough because they, you know, they ended up third in their, they still ended up with over 100 points though.
Yeah,
they were third
that,
in their
that
division.
Atlantic division was unbelievable.
Right, they were third in their division, they still ended up with 100 points, so they weren't that far behind where Colorado finished either. And you kind of go, man, it doesn't really matter whether one of these teams ended up third in their division or not. Yeah. They both were ridiculous this season.
Yeah,
so.
Like you had a, like Tampa Bay had to go through a Leafs team that was bound and determined to finally get past the first round. And almost, like, once again, like, they got there. They
as
got
former
close.
Ottawa Senator stuck the dagger in again,
yeah,
though.
Exactly.
Nick Paul.
But then they take out the President's Trophy winners in a sweep. And then they go up
that
against this, like, crazy upstart Rangers team that pushes them to the brink. Like
Rangers go up 2-0. All of a sudden, Tampa Bay figures it out, and they rattle off four straight again.
Yeah, they're just like, all right.
Like, not even a chance for Tampa Bay to get, or for Rangers to get back into that
exactly.
one.
Exactly. So. It's they're a team that just knows how to win, and it's like, who blinks first between these two?
All right. So, NHL State of the Union was yesterday as well, or was on, before game one yesterday, in terms of what went on. Mm-hmm. Let's go through a little bit of this, because there's a lot of rhetoric in here that
I love how they have these meetings, like, and these announcements in the heat of the Stanley Cup final, so it just gets buried.
They always do. Bettman's been doing this now forever because he's been commissioner forever, but he does it. They've been doing it before game one all the time, but it's legitimately one of these things where you're limited on time because, again, everybody has to get to the next game, right? So here's some of the highlights we'll go over. Revenues for the 21-22 NHL season will be a record high, according to the NHL, somewhere in excess of $5.2 billion as a conservative estimate. That's up from $4.6 billion when they at last had a full season before the pandemic. So if you're comparing, that's an additional, again, everybody's going to go, okay, well, it's an additional $600
million. $600 million.
Hold on. They've said that corporate dollars through sponsorships and partnerships and building attendance were among the drivers of the season. And basically, Bettman said that if it continues into next year, then salary cap increases will continue to rise.
Yeah. And that's what we were expecting before the COVID season. We were like, they're projecting like it could go up by $10 million.
Now remember, this is a company that just walked away from Gatorade.
Yeah.
And they still made $600 million more. It's not like they're hurting for money.
Yeah. It's like all of these worries about like, oh yeah, the pool might be tight the next few years as we try and like build back. I was like, no, you're still on that trajectory.
And they're going to get, whenever the CBA comes up for the next negotiation, there's going to be a pile of money from escrow dumped into those coffers as well.
Yeah.
So it's going to be nuts in terms of just how much money the NHL makes. And if you're legitimately looking to sell your product, maybe go to the NHL. They're willing to buy. So,
yeah.
Opening night in North America for the 2022-2023 season is slated for October 11th. NHL regular season games will kick off in Prague, Czechia, between the Nashville Predators and the San Jose Sharks on October 7th.
That's awesome.
So that should be interesting.
Yeah.
Winter Classic's going to be in Boston. We already knew that. Stadium Series will be hosted by Carolina after it got moved from a couple years ago during the pandemic in Raleigh. So Raleigh's going to have an arena set up in the middle of winter in
North Carolina.
The All-Star Game will be slightly more south as the Florida Panthers host it again. This will be Florida's second time hosting it. Winnipeg has still not hosted one. In 1.0 or 2.0, Winnipeg has not hosted an NHL All-Star
game. It's because we don't have an airport to get everybody in. There's no internet.
No Wi-Fi. Yeah, no Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Schedule for the 2022-2023 season will be released in early July. To be honest, I mean, if they're just going to send everybody down to Sunrise to literally go spend a week on the beach and have a few hockey events, no big deal, I guess.
Ovechkin's going to be in Florida, but he's not going to be there for the All-Star game.
Oh, no.
You can bet on that.
Somebody will opt out and they'll spot them on the beach down there. So.
Oh yeah, they'll just be like poking around. Somebody will be on their Instagram and whatever.
Bill Daly took the mic after that and said the NHLPA is cooperating with the NHL's investigation in regards to the Hockey Canada player scandal that came up. Now, if you remember, there were a woman who settled, basically didn't name names, but eight players who legitimately, from the 2018 World Junior Hockey Team, the Canadian World Junior Hockey Team, that apparently sexually assaulted her. They're going to help arrange interviews with the players, and the NHL expects to interview each of the players from that team.
Like every single player or just
every single player is going to be interviewed. Bettman assumes the findings of the investigation will be made public unless there's a legal reason not to. Hockey Canada did not make the NHL aware of the scandal when it happened, and legally learned about it recently when the lawsuit became known. So the NHL sounds like they're trying to cover their rear ends in terms of this one to make sure that they're not going to get in trouble. As we already know, Hockey Canada is now being dragged in front of the government to make sure that public funds aren't being used to pay off this settlement.
Yeah.
And that could also put a lot of questions into what Hockey Canada is doing in terms of this cover-up.
Yep, and there's a bill in front of the House, I believe, on protecting athletes from violence of this kind. So I believe the government is just like,
yeah, we're gonna
stop this from happening.
We're gonna take a real good hard look at this.
I think the fact that they are doing this investigation is
and making it public and making the findings public is important,
because that was a huge question with the Kyle Beach situation. Was
right,
like, were you gonna make it? Are you gonna make it public? Because it's important to make it public, and you're actually more likely to get honest responses out of people when it is public.
Dare I say, did the NHL learn something?
Maybe. Did the NHL learn a lesson? What?
Something a lot of fans and certainly media have been screaming about are specifics regarding player injuries, especially when it comes to all of the gambling that's going on now.
Yes.
We'll talk about the gambling in a second, because that's a big problem as well. But the big thing is that betting houses and bettors want to know who's injured, how injured, and how long they may be out. Bill Daly actually shot it down and said, quote, "The most important thing for us is what happens on the ice, and the health and safety of our players is paramount. If that means our betting partners have to take a backseat to the safety of our players, then we plead guilty to that," unquote. In other words, lower body and upper body injuries are the way of the NHL. You are not going to get anything further than that.
Just wait.
Despite the fact that the NFL does that, NFL releases exact injuries that players are going through, and they haven't lost a dime in betting yet.
Yeah, so I have to dance around this topic slightly, because I, as my coffee mug says, I do work in the lottery industry, and sports betting is a part of that. But if you think, with the amount of money that is flowing through this industry, that you are going to be able to say that your gambling partners have to take a back seat, good luck. Good luck.
I'm going to bring this up.
The amount of conversations that go on in terms of deriving like the algorithms that determine what odds are, the amount of inputs that go into that are immense. And if you're holding back one of those, that potentially could throw all of the integrity out the window.
So you can make the case for that, right? That and again, I'm not saying you're wrong. You have certainly a good point and a good opportunity to make that case. What if I told you that there are provinces that are planning on suing the gambling companies, suing the sports books right now? Because Alberta, being on Hockey Night in Canada and having Sportsnet advertising them, Alberta says that is legitimately selling gambling to Albertans when it's illegal to do so in that province.
Because if you don't know, as it's explained in the Canadian Criminal Code, the only operators that can provide licenses are the provinces themselves, and only Ontario is moving in this direction, but no province gives out licenses to anybody but themselves. Because they want to keep it within the, because it's a major revenue source for the province.
Steve Lotisher, who was interviewed by Sean Fitzgerald on the Athletic, spoke out about it and said, quote, he said outside companies are looking to win Albertans as new customers, quote, are illegal operators because they don't have the right to be selling bets in Alberta. His exact quote to Fitzgerald was, "We're looking at potential options to figure out how to discourage the use of unregulated illegal market sites and the advertising. We're assessing the situation and trying to figure out exactly what is the right path forward."
Yeah.
So when you look at that and you go, if Alberta starts that, if Alberta opens that door, that could kill a whole pile of stuff. Yeah. Because Ontario is the only one that's allowed to do it right now. And if anybody can see those ads, that technically would be a crime.
Yes, it is. It's called the gray market for a reason, because the operators are overseas. They operate in like small island nations typically.
That's where you see all those EU website domain names.
Yeah, exactly. So you kind of skirt around it by saying it's not operating for their because their servers aren't in North America or in Canada. That means they're not like breaking the law. There's only one sports betting site that does operate in Canada. But it's a whole other kettle of fish that I don't have to get into.
Break that down at another show. Yeah.
Yeah. But I know Steve, and he is very serious about this.
Well, and I mean, I don't blame him. But if you want to talk about gambles, they also addressed Arizona yesterday. Coyotes are certainly always going to be a hot topic, especially on this show, especially with the stupidity that goes on down in Arizona. But Gary Bettman is not going to interfere. They have no interest in stopping what's happening.
Oh, really, Gary?
Wait, his reason, quote, it's not unprecedented. When the Flames moved from Atlanta to Calgary, they played in a very small venue for a couple of years. Now, hold on. Now before we get even further ahead on this, I want to just say that is the most ignorant thing that Gary Bettman may have ever said this month. I don't want to say ever this year because
just wait.
When they moved, okay? When they moved, and we're talking about, again, 1972 is when they were founded. In 1980, they moved to Calgary. They landed at the Stampede Corral. The Stampede Corral holds 7,500 people. In 1980, when revenues were legitimately still $100,000 a team, not billions of dollars per team, It didn't matter if you sold 7,500 tickets because every single ticket was only a buck a piece or 10 bucks a piece, whatever. It's not your $400 tickets anymore.
Yeah.
Now it matters. So don't be ignorant and try and make a comparison between Calgary in the 80s and Tempe, Arizona in 2023.
Like, out of one side of his mouth, he's talking about the $600 million extra dollars they made this year. And then they're saying money doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter the number of tickets we sell.
When Tampa came into the league, they played in the fairgrounds. They played at the fairgrounds. San Jose played at the Cow Palace. Except both of those arenas held more than 10,000 people.
Yep.
It's not hard to see that you're talking about completely different things. These are apples and oranges. These are apples and steaks we're talking
He's
about.
He's making it up as he goes along.
Right. We're not even talking about the same thing here. So that bothered me a lot.
Yeah.
They brought up Evander Kane. Evander Kane's contract termination grievance is going to take a bit more time as the arbitrator is unavailable in June. So he may not become a free agent until after free agency starts.
That's not going to stop them, though. Like, he's still going to sign a contract.
Except he can't, because if they award him back to San Jose, he has to go back to San Jose before San Jose can release him or trade him.
Here's my question, though. How does this impact the Oilers? Because he was technically playing for them when he should have been under contract
right.
with San Jose.
So that's correct. And they traded in terms of letting him go and having him sign there or whatever. This is where all of that gray area was. Now, because they have a determination coming, he cannot sign a contract because if we award you back to San Jose, you can't go. You can't go to the new contract.
Yeah.
So this is going to cause a big problem. So they said that the decision could come past the opening day of free agency. Not good. Now, July 14th, I think, is the opening day for free agency this year. That could be bad. A lot of problems they addressed as well are in Denver and parts of New York City, where cable hockey can't be seen on cable TV.
Mm-hmm.
They said that they're pretty much going to start looking at streaming options only. That the ESPN Plus deal worked out well. They may go to other places in terms of possibly avoiding deals with satellite and cable carriage altogether.
Also, they're eliminating the NHL Game Center Game Pass, the thing that the NHL streaming service, they're eliminating it in Canada because they're saying you can get it on Sportsnet now.
Right. Despite them now saying that, well, we may just skip out on the cable companies altogether.
Yeah. Nothing the NHL ever does makes sense.
World Cup of Hockey still in progress. February 2024 is the date for that. They're aligned with the NHLPA on that, but discussions are ongoing. Russia and Belarus have no implications in terms of the draft. If teams want to select players from Russia or Belarus, they're more than welcome to, according to Bill Daly. There's the last couple updates.
Okay.
I mean, not surprised about that, but not really big on that either, but whatever. I mean, we're talking about the NHL, who seems can't get left hand, never knows, seems to know what the right hand is doing. However, other NHL news, let's break into this because there's a ton of other news coming out. Minutes ago, apparently agreed to and signed, ink is still drying, John Tortorella is now the new head coach of the Philadelphia Flyers.
Which surprises nobody.
John Tortorella plus the fans in Philadelphia. Can you imagine that powder keg?
Oh. I didn't even think about that. Because he's either... Because they're going to love him, then they're going to hate him, and he's going to hate them right back.
But, like, the press doesn't care in Philadelphia. They're just going to legitimately light fires everywhere. And don't get me wrong. He's going to get along with everybody great, and he's changed. And this is the thing that I want people to understand. Over the last 5 years, he's changed. He's come down off his pedestal where he used to scream and yell at Brooksy in New York, where he used to constantly fight with him. But there are still things that bother him. And when he gets fired up, people are going to just push that button a little bit more.
It's a match made in heaven, really, for the culture of the Philadelphia Flyers to have John Tortorella there, who can be a powder keg. It's going to be... I feel like the Flyers fans are going to jump on everything he says, and they're going to be, like, parroting it. Like, it's going to take one or two really good sound bites, and instantly he's just a legend in Philadelphia.
Bruce Cassidy of the Vegas Golden Knights wasn't unemployed for very long and certainly could be an impactful guy there, although I don't know if some of those players fit into Bruce Cassidy's style of play. Jack Eichel being one of them.
Because if he's bringing, because he, you know, he said with the reverence that he talks about the Boston Bruins and just how they build culture and how they build dedication, having like basically this, you know, Vegas being what Vegas is, and it seems to have filtered down to how they bring in players and the players that they bring in, that doesn't jive, you know, having these big names and stars who are all like on billboards and everything with the Boston Bruins way of doing things, where you're a Boston Bruin first and you play like a Boston Bruin. I don't know if it's congruent with the way, I don't know if it fits the way Bruce Cassidy is going to coach this team.
It is 6 o'clock. I'm going to give everybody a bit of news right now. We'll talk about the trade that just happened in a second here, but the Guess the Bison contest, what we're going to do is I'm going to give out the clues this week, and then next week you can call for and give us your answers, and if you get it, then you get the prize. Yeah. First to get the answer is going to win it. That will happen in approximately 6 minutes, 6:10. We'll do that every week at 6:10 until we're out of Bisons to talk about. So if you're wondering what happened to the contest and why haven't you been prompted for that yet, that's the answer, is that we're going to give everybody a week to think about it. Because as you found out, Jason, before the show, it's a lot harder than it sounds when you don't have any sort of years of reference to go with. We won't give you the years. We're not going to give you the information. We're only going to give you the achievements, we'll say.
Yeah.
So that'll happen in 6 minutes. So stay tuned for that, folks. Yeah. But the big trade that just happened, Shea Weber's dead contract, because he's probably never going to play hockey again, has been traded to the Golden Knights by the Montreal Canadiens in exchange for Evgeny Dadonov. Now, Dadonov, again, went to Anaheim and was sent back and then played well in the playoffs for the Golden Knights, and then the Golden Knights decided, we're going to get rid of you again. I don't know how that affects his no-trade clause, because I don't know if Montreal is on that, but I'm assuming that he just wants out of Vegas regardless now. Mm-hmm. But Vegas trades Dadonov for a dead contract and still can't get below the salary cap.
Well, they were under the salary cap before this, doesn't make sense. Why would you do that when you have negative players signed? And like, I understand from a cap relief perspective why that would happen, but like,
I don't.
Well, like,
I mean,
it makes sense during the season to make a trade like this.
Yes.
But in the preseason, before free agency, before the draft, before the start of the season,
you have to be within cap compliance before the season starts. And they're not.
Like, are they going to just play with 16 forwards and 6D?
So the moment the season starts on the 7th, on October 7th, when those games play over in Europe, when the moment that they're going to put Shea Weber back on LTIR and be compliant. The problem, though, is that prior to that, they will not be compliant with the salary cap.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to figure it out for the next couple of months on how they're going to get below. Again, they're $2.7 million over the cap right now.
Yeah.
So it's not hard to maybe bury somebody in the minors for the next couple of weeks. But at the end of the day, this is going to be another shuffling of the deck every week for the Golden Knights until they can figure out how to manage their cap better, because they currently have 16 players under contract of the 23 they need.
And you need 18 to ice a team.
Right. Which would be the bare minimum. I mean, I know they iced 16 a couple of times last year during the season.
Yeah.
But you legitimately can't go with anybody other than...
You can't even...
They have one goaltender right now in Robin Lehner.
Yeah, you can't even ice that 16 because it's not cap compliant.
Right.
You'd have to put people down to the minors.
They have 8 forwards under contract right now. 8 forwards.
That's...
They don't even have 3 lines.
They barely have 2 lines. Obviously, like, the decisions of George McPhee and his own decisions are coming to bite Kelly McCrimmon on the behind, but, like...
Are they, though? Because McCrimmon's the guy who traded for Mark Stone.
This is the problem that he made.
Right. McCrimmon's the guy who traded for Jack Eichel. McCrimmon's the guy who traded for Mark Stone. McCrimmon's the guy that legitimately gave Pietrangelo that monster deal.
Does he think that this is like the Brandon Wheat Kings, where you can just do whatever and there are no
rules? McCrimmon's the guy who screwed over Marc-Andre Fleury and left them with Robin Lehner.
Yeah.
Not saying that Robin Lehner's a bad goalie, but at $5 million, Robin Lehner's overpaid.
And he's a goalie that I don't think wants to be there anymore after how he was treated last year.
And now they've traded for a dead contract in Shea Weber.
Like, does Kelly McCrimmon not know how the cap works?
I don't know.
Does he not know the rules? Because, like, you're going to need... Like, either you're making major trades in the run-up to the start of the season to get below the cap, but also bring in players... Or what? Like, what are you going to... Are you going to just, like, forfeit your first game so you can get that first game under your belt and then...
I can tell you this. One goalie they won't have a chance to sign will be Mikko Koskinen. Mikko Koskinen didn't even get to unrestricted free agency and already signed a new deal. He left Edmonton and on June 13th signed with Lugano of the Swiss League.
I mean, good for him. Like, the Swiss League... It's a great place to play.
I'm not
make
taking
a lot of,
yeah.
like,
I'm not taking
a lot
away
of money
from Koskinen on that. Like he's looking out for himself, which is great.
Like but the estimate is like half a million dollars is like the average contract.
But what does it say about Koskinen in terms of him just fleeing Edmonton and going to sign with the Swiss League right away?
I mean, what does it say about Edmonton?
That's what I mean. Like, you didn't even wait to hear a free agency offer. I could see if you could go, yeah, we'll bump it back a few weeks. We'll see you in a month or whatever.
It makes sense if he wants to just like kind of, he's an older guy. He might just want to like go somewhere where he can make good money. He's close to home if he goes to Switzerland. It's a place where his family can go and he could like...
Well, again, Swiss League is up there. Like Swiss League, Swedish Elite League, German League, like they're all kind of that second...
Yeah.
I mean, they're
second
not KHL
tier.
In terms of having all that mm-hmm. money. They're kind of second tier in terms of pay, but first tier in terms of European hockey. So
yeah, so like he... I can get the decision on his end. And also because like you've got like where does he fit with the Oilers if they had offered to like bring him back? I don't think there's a spot for him in the NHL. I don't know if any team would take a chance on him.
Not at the salary he was being paid for sure.
Yeah, and I don't think even the Oilers, because they've got Stuart Skinner there, and whether Mike Smith, because there are the rumors that Mike Smith is going to go on LTIR when the season starts and retire because his body just can't hold up anymore. If that doesn't happen, then Koskinen's your third string goaltender. And I don't think he would want to do that.
We'll have to see how they go now, because right now there's no goalies in Edmonton.
Yeah.
But Let's get to the contest then. So again, folks, don't call in today. Call in next week. I'll give you a week to think about this. But here are the clues. This is Guess the Bison. This is a bison that has gone on to bigger and better things, who played at one of the hockey programs mm-hmm. here at the university. So whether men's hockey or women's hockey, could be one or could be either. I guess it didn't play for both, but either in terms of what happened. So here we go. Let's get this underway. If you know, hold on to your answer. Make sure you call in next week at 5:30. I'm not taking a call today. Obviously, we, for whatever reason, can't get a call on anyway, so we'll figure that out as we get going. But hold on until next week, because that's when we'll get it going. But here are your clues for Guess the Bison. This person played for the Bisons. Okay? This person coached the Bisons. Okay? This person has coached in Europe. This person spent 9 seasons behind the bench for the Bisons. This person has spent time on NHL benches. This person has 2 Olympic medals, 1 silver and 1 gold. This person graduated with a phys ed degree and a certification in education from the University of Manitoba. This person has a local arena named after this person. Local arena named after this person.
Jonathan Taves.
Listen now. Could have been him. Oh, no, wait. It can't be him. This person has passed away already. So there are your clues. We're not going to give out any major details. Major details are going to be held off. If you are looking for clues, hit me up on Twitter sometime during the week. I can help answer questions at that point, help you out a little bit more in terms of giving you some information if you're looking for more clues. But there are your generic clues for this person. Played at the school, coached at the school, coached in Europe, coached behind NHL benches, has 2 Olympic medals, has a phys ed degree and a certification in education, passed away already, has a local arena named after this person. Sound good? Okay, so if you know that person, if you know who that bison is, hold on to that information. It'll be first come, first serve in terms of getting in next week. So the moment that we open up the phone lines next week, you can get in and give us your answer. Jason had a number of answers in the pregame that we did. None of them were correct, though.
Yep. I spent way too much time thinking about the arenas in this city
and
was still wrong.
It's okay. That's why it's a tough game. We want it to be a little tougher. The prize that you'll win, we're giving away a $25 gift card to Tim Hortons for the winner that gets this one. So we'll get that all set up next week if that's the case. Then you're going to buy yourself some coffee for the next however long month or however long it takes you to finish off $25 gift card. So there you go. Speaking of coaches, Canadian coach Jessica Campbell is going to join the New York Rangers 2022 development camp as a head coach.
I saw that.
Or as a coach, anyway. Former Cornell player and Calgary Inferno player has been coaching for a while. She was recently with Team Germany, the IIHF Men's World Hockey Championship, as a coach as well.
That's so awesome.
Congratulations to Jessica, because that is fantastic that she's getting that invite from the Rangers. She's the first female coach on any of the original 6 teams.
Really?
Like they have player development and stuff for Haley Wickenheiser and Daniel Goyette in Toronto, but she's the mm-hmm. first on like bench coach that's going to be on the bench for any of the original 6
awesome.
Teams. Yeah,
that's awesome.
So congratulations, Jessica.
And very deserved.
Fantastic. She's put in so much time and mm-hmm. has worked so hard to get that. She deserves it. So yeah, good on her. Speaking of other stuff going on around the Bisons, they haven't released the schedule yet. I'm sure if you've gone over to gobisons.ca, you're probably going to be like, seriously, like, what's going on? Like, let's get some scheduling going here. Bisons haven't released a schedule, but somebody else did, and it's got the Bisons on it.
There you go. So we know one game.
We know one confirmed date for the Bisons so far. Bison men's hockey is going to head south. They're going to play the UND Hawks in Grand Forks at Ralph Engelstad Arena on Saturday, October 1st. Preseason game. Saturday, October 1st in Grand Forks, North Dakota. So just circle that date on your calendar if you're looking to watch the Bisons play. Bisons, as we know, were 8th in Canada West last year. As it stands right now on the April 11th poll for both USA Today and the coaches poll, UND is ranked 9th in the NCAA. Mm-hmm. ninth overall in the nation versus 8th in Canada West.
And I mean, it wasn't long ago that the Fighting Hawks won a national championship and a conference championship and,
They have multiple Frozen Four appearances, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So they're going to be good. Bisons, if you haven't heard, have bolstered their lineup a little bit. They have a new goaltender for next season. They added former Western Michigan University and former Nipawin Hawks goaltender Ross Haralek. You may not know Ross's name just off the bat, but he's a 6'4" goaltender from Lloydminster, Alberta. Dude's gonna tower over players. He has no stats from WMU, where he basically was there for in his first year, but he was 19-8-4 in the SJHL with Nipawin in 37 games, a 2.53 goals against average, and a .919 save percentage.
Pretty solid numbers.
Not bad for a Tendy that's coming into Manitoba. We've had some good Tendies here, but Ross looks like he's coming in to get himself going and certainly has the stats to maybe make an impact for this Bison's hockey team.
Yeah, and there've been back-to-back, really solid, basically Mike Schrantz pulled off a pair of coups the last couple goalies that he's brought in. Neither stuck around very long, but you've got another one coming in where you're like, all right, let's see, just based on size alone, let's see what you can do.
You look at this conference, and it's goaltender heavy in terms of just the best teams have the best goaltenders, right? So good to see a good goaltender maybe coming into Manitoba and changing the outlook for the team. They certainly can use, again, not saying we had bad goaltenders here before, but certainly getting a goaltender of Harlick's status is a little bit different than what we had, because most of our goalies have been 6 feet, 5'11", 6 feet, 6 foot four.
Yeah.
Dude's going to tower over some of the guys standing in front of him, which is good. Bison's added defender Zach Patrick as well. He had 13 points in 96 games with Kootenay and Winnipeg. In his WHL career, not a lot, but he was very good with Steinbach last season, kind of came into his own. He had 9 goals and 35 points in 46 MJHL games. So Zach Patrick could be a good addition to this Bison's blue line. Ontario-born forward Jackson Arpin joins the Bison's. He'll come from the Winkler Flyers. 6'2" winger, had 14 goals and 54 points in 118 MJHL games as well.
Yeah.
So, big kid on the wing, looks like a little bit of size coming down the wing, at least, anyway.
That's what Mike Surratt likes. He's been looking for another guy to throw on the wing that's big, strong, and likes to shove people around.
And certainly, if Arpin can come in and do a little bit of that, Bisons will benefit from that for sure. Over in the ECHL, Florida did win the Kelly Cup over the Toledo Walleye this past week. Big news is that Levko Koper, who played for the University of Alberta Golden Bears, is now a Kelly Cup champion. So congratulations to him, as the Pandas earned another feather in their cap, which is always nice to see. Congratulations to Florida on an outstanding postseason, and certainly going forward, they look like they're going to be pretty good as well. They've had some pretty good players come through there as well for a while, so congratulations to them. In the Calder Cup, the AHL, it will be Chicago versus Springfield after Springfield eliminated Laval last night.
Unfortunately.
But Springfield versus Chicago, we talked a little bit about it last week about the weird sort of quirk of having these independent teams win. It's kind of weird that, and I'll say this, because both of these teams are in their first year of affiliation with their NHL teams as well. Springfield's first year with St. Louis, Chicago's first year with Carolina.
Huh. Almost like they had a little bit more free reign than everybody else.
I'm not saying that they were allowed to do whatever they wanted to, but at the end of the day, it's like, and again, I'll take nothing away from St. Louis. St. Louis is a pretty good setup. Carolina, if I can spit that name out. Carolina has a pretty deep team as well
and they have a good track record when they had the Charlotte Checkers for a number of years.
Absolutely. But I mean, that's the thing, is that draft and develop in those two teams is happening, and we see that Jordan Kyrou obviously and Rob Thomas and those guys coming up for St. Louis. Chicago obviously has seen a number of players come through there, but we saw guys like Seth Jarvis come through and play with Carolina this year. We've seen again a pile of those Aho and Svechnikov and all them or whatever. They started off great, but I mean, a few of the other guys that have sort of made their way through, the Nedeljkovic left, unfortunately, but he was with Charlotte for a while. But legitimately, the draft and develop for those two teams is exceptional, and we're seeing them reap benefits for it right now as they go back to the Calder Cup for their AHL squad. So
it's gonna be good.
Should be a good final, I think. But I'm an IHL guy. I'm gonna put my money on Chicago.
There you go.
I know James Neal plays for that team. James Neal plays for Springfield.
Maybe that's the real deal,
James Neal?
Exactly. The real deal, James. I always forget that he's still in the NHL, or that he's not in the NHL, that he's still playing hockey. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, remembering, oh, yeah, Chris Chelios played in the AHL for a little while.
Yeah, he did. He played the Chicago Wolves, ironically.
Yeah, there you go.
When they were the Atlanta Thrashers farm team. So there you go.
Yeah.
James Neal, for those who may have forgotten him, again, a lot of guys, you know, getting sort of laughing about this or whatever in terms of what's happened with James Neal here. But James Neal has been pretty much a solid player down there for them, and he's leading their way. Again, he's not the same goal scorer he once was. And I mean, he's an older dude now, and we all get that. But one of the veteran leaders on that Springfield team with all the kids that they got around him. So congratulations to James Neal. If he can add maybe a Calder Cup championship to his resume, hey, it's better than not winning anything,
there
right?
There you go.
So weird to see James Neal down there, though. And I mean, again, I was looking sort of, you can sort of go through some of the
well, like, it's almost like how Darren Helm is still playing in the NHL.
Well, they were
completely forgot and until the playoffs.
Well, I mean, Ray Ferraro made the comment today that he comes up, wins the Stanley Cup with Detroit, and the next year he's playing the AHL again. And you kind of go, like, what's going on in terms of how he plays? And then you forget about him altogether. And then all of a sudden he's back with Colorado, and he's centering the fourth line down there.
Yeah.
So you kind of go, yeah, there's these guys, there's these good veterans that might still be out there that people kind of forget about in terms of what's gone on. But legitimately, there are some guys that you look at this team that Chicago's put together. Again, Ryan Suzuki's playing for that team, he's probably going to be pretty good in terms of playing.
Yeah.
Josh Levo's down there. Former NHLer Josh Levo is playing for that. Stelio Mateos, who, again, born in Winnipeg, played for the Wheat Kings. He's down there. Richard Panik is down there.
What?
So they have, I'm not joking about this, they have legitimately Josh Levo, CJ Smith, and Richard Panik. All of them were born before 1995. Playing for that team.
Just by name alone, I was like, wait, Richard Panik's down there?
Stefan Nosen is down there.
Okay.
So, okay, not bad. Jack LaFontaine was sent back to them from Carolina, so he's playing for them. He's back down there now. Kochetkov is down there with them. He came back from Carolina as well. So they've got the goaltending down there. Alex Lyon is down there as well. Alex Lyon used to play for the Flyers for a short time. He's been their guy through the playoffs, leading them through the playoffs.
Unbelievable.
They have legitimately like four like outstanding netminders, and two of them can't even dress for the games right now. But you look at that. You look at that team and you just go, like, man, there is a lot of good players. Again, GM Wendell Young, he's won a Stanley Cup with the Penguins or whatever. But again, Ryan Warsawski down in Chicago has done just an incredible job with the Wolves each and every year, which is always good to see. But I mean, how do you go up against a team with that much experience? I mean, again, Levo and Panik are legitimate. We're legitimate NHLers, not 2 years ago, right? Or 3 years ago.
And now they're down in the American League, just tearing it up.
Well, I mean, they're not playing top minutes, but they're certainly providing the leadership that's needed. And I mean, they've been through that, right? That's the whole thing. So, and then you flip over to Springfield, right? And you're looking at their sort of setup, and they don't really have a lot of guys that you might recognize. Again, you're not really sort of into the whole St. Louis thing. You may not recognize Klim Kostin's playing there right now. Yeah, Klim Kostin, you might have heard him. Tanner Kaspik is down there in terms of playing with Matthew Pekka, who has been called up a couple times. James Neal, as we know, is playing down there. Again, you kind of go, well, there's probably Luke Witkowski is down there. Again, he's been around forever. Steve Santini's been around forever as well in terms of it down there. Joel Hofer. Might remember him from the Canada World Junior team, who was the gold medal winning. He's one of their netminders. Charlie Lindgren, who used to play for the Canadians, is the other netminder down there. Colton Ellis hasn't even seen the ice yet.
Mm-hmm. I mean, with those guys ahead of you, you're probably not going to.
But that's the thing, though, is again, you look at this Springfield team, you go, like, they've got a pretty good sort of, you know, mix of old and new too. So it's going to be a good AHL final. If you're looking for some good hockey, AHL final is going to be a blast to see these two teams go head to head on. So let's hope that we get a good setup on that. But Just about out of time here, Jay, in terms of what we have left here. I was just taking a quick look at a little bit deeper into the Shea Weber trade here, because I don't really like what's gone on here. Like, Dadonov had 20 goals and 23 assists in 70 games.
He's a good player. I don't know why Vegas is just dead set on trading. Like, it didn't make sense when they attempted to trade him to Anaheim.
I just don't understand that.
And now, I mean, you're technically allowed to do it, because I think you can be, like, up to eight. I think with the current salary cap, you can be $8.3 million over max before the season. But, like, still, it doesn't make sense unless there's just like this master plan in the background with like, oh, we're gonna like trade this guy away and get rid of this guy, and this guy is going, he's retiring, and like,
okay,
whatever.
But, okay, but so the thing that I don't understand, and maybe it's just me, and I know we don't have very much time left to look at, you know, what's going on and what's happening in terms of everything that's happened here, but again, Dadonov, he makes $5 million a season, right?
Yep.
And okay, you can make up, you can talk about whatever you want in terms of, but again, for the guys that make around $5 million, Jonathan Marchessault is in there. The guy making 5.9 is William Karlsson. He signed till 27-28. Why would you not trade William Karlsson? Dadonov is a better player than Karlsson is. Karlsson had one great season, don't get me wrong. He's a good player.
He got paid for it.
Right, he got paid really well for it. But why not? Or I know you can't ask for Max Pacioretty back, but I mean, Max Pacioretty's still there and he's making $7 million a season. And you go, is he going to be there all season at 33 next year?
Yeah, and they're just like chucking no trades and no moves around.
So, but if you're gonna, and if you're Montreal, you can look at a Shea Theodore, you can look at an Alec Martinez in terms of guys that maybe you could pry away from one of those from Vegas. They're making 5.25 and 5.2. I don't understand. Why are you trading a $5 million guy that scores 45 points a season, 20 of those being goals? I don't know. To me, it's ridiculous, but
just
whatever.
Pry away Robin Lehner because you might not get Carey Price back.
Well, let's not go too far on that. Ooh.
Leave Vegas with zero goaltenders.
Pump the brakes a little bit on that. But that's the thing is, I don't understand that. Like Logan Thompson, who's legitimately going to be their starting netminder next year, in theory, could be the guy that legitimately has to carry the,
like, do they
at $770,000 a year.
Like, do they just know that they're going to trade away Robin Lehner after how last season ended? And they're like, oh yeah, we'll be back under the cap by Canada Day.
I don't know. I don't know. Understand how this is going to work, but I mean, I'm not here to criticize Kelly McCrimmon, but
I'm here.
My God, what are you doing?
I'm here for the school of thought that McCrimmon doesn't understand how the salary cap works.
I mean, maybe math is a foreign concept to them down in Vegas. I mean, it seems like all they're doing is rolling the dice, and hey, it's Vegas, right?
So, hey.
But I don't know. That's you try to trade him to Anaheim, you get that gets blocked. Then you trade him to Montreal.
Again, this is a team that didn't do the due diligence to make sure the player that they acquired had a no trade list. They didn't even ask. So, like,
baffling.
I think we're giving them too much credit.
Well, and that might be the case. Maybe we are giving them way too much credit, but either way, we're just about out of time here. Jason, anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
Check out Let's Talk About every Tuesday, 11 to 11:30. Last episode was about cybernetic eye technology.
Ooh, yeah. Look at you. That's James Bond stuff in
there
terms of the way that they had that set up there. So. And looking at everything that's going on, folks, keep your eye on the Stanley Cup Final. Obviously, it's going to be good. We're going to get Brian on next week once we get this phone thing sorted out here. I have no idea what's going on with that, but we'll have Brian on to laugh about that next week. I'm going to see if I can maybe coerce him to come on for the entire show.
See
if we can have a little fun with Brian on that in terms of getting that going. But stay tuned for Free Range Radio with Skippy coming up next here on the station. You've been listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM. Glad to have you along, everybody. Glad to see you. We'll continue this discussion next week. Have a good one, everybody. See you on Thursday.
In the time I've worked here, I've taken great pains to see as little of this building as possible. Turns out the third floor is silent, empty, and completely free of work.
Broadcasting live from the third floor of University Center at the University of Manitoba, this is 101.5 CJUM FM in Winnipeg.